Hello and welcome to another episode of Regularly Scheduled Hostility. I'm your host, Eric Turner. Now we have a little bit of New Japan, Wrestle Kingdom to get into. I'm not going to get into like every match. I'm just going to get into a few of the bigger matches. Have a little bit of Raw to get into. And of course, AEW and NXT to get into. So let's jump right into it. The first thing I want to get into real quick before we get into the actual in-ring wrestling stuff is Nikki Bella announced that she is engaged now. She said that she's been engaged for like over a month now or something like that. But her and her fiance wanted to sort of keep it private. But then she goes and posts a picture on Twitter with her showing off the ring. And her cuck beta boyfriend behind her. I think this guy that she's engaged to now, I think was on Dancing with the Stars. I could be wrong. But I think that's where he sort of got famous from. So congratulations to them. I'm sure probably John Cena is probably breathing a little bit of fresh air. Even though she's probably still not going to be able to keep his name out of her mouth. Because every chance she gets, she brings up John Cena, even though she's been dating this guy for like a year or something like that, or maybe more than a year. She still brings him up every chance she gets. So I doubt, even though she's engaged, that that's going to change. John Cena is probably breathing a little bit of fresh air, a little bit of fresh air. Because she's finally moved on and it's taken that next step of engagement, even though, you know, that's not anything official yet. I mean, John Cena and Nikki Bella were engaged at one time and we saw how that turned out. So the very same thing could happen with this go around. But we'll see how it goes, how it turns out. You know, John Cena was even, made it clear to her, and even clear on the Total Bella show, that he really wasn't interested in ever having kids. And he even made that concession to her, that he was willing to, you know, knock her up and give her kids, because she really wanted to have at least one kid. So he was even willing to concede that, and he didn't even really want to get married, and even conceded that, you know, with proposing to her, engaging, even though it was a WWE storyline, they still were engaged in real life. Even though he did propose to her on TV or at WrestleMania, I think it was. So yeah, congratulations to the newly engaged couple, Nikki Bella and her boyfriend. So now let's move on from that stuff, the gossip bullshit. To the actual in-ring stuff. We're moving on to Wrestle Kingdom 14 here. Happened this past weekend. I didn't actually have New Japan World, so I didn't watch it live, but I was watching reaction videos. And then I found this one website where you could watch it. They put up the clips of it basically right after the matches were done. And they had the whole matches up, so I was basically able to watch it for free. It just wasn't technically live. And then I did watch a live stream on YouTube of the matches while they were going on. So I kind of knew, I knew who already won. But then I went back and watched some of the bigger matches. Some of those bigger matches we'll get into right now. We have the Hiromu Takahashi versus Will Ospreay for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. This is like the first match back for Takahashi. Basically his first match back since breaking his neck like over a year ago. So definitely emotional for him. This was a superb match. Both of these guys were just super athletic, super talented. I know a lot of people had Will Ospreay as their wrestler of the year for 2019. But Takahashi was able to hit the time bomb a couple times and get a pin Will Ospreay for the 1-2-3. So Takahashi is the new junior heavyweight championship, our champion. So definitely emotional for him. He was kind of sort of crying. So next match was the the winner of this next match earned the right to face Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship the next night, night two in Wrestle Kingdom. It was Tetsuya Naito versus Jay White. Naito ended up winning this match. It was pretty decent, but I think it was definitely better, one of the better matches for Jay White in his career there in New Japan. And probably part of that was because of Naito. But Naito won, and I believe Naito was the Intercontinental Champion coming in there, so I believe he retained his Intercontinental Championship. So that set up the match for night two. Naito versus Okada, championship versus championship. Whoever wins leaves the Tokyo Dome and leaves Wrestle Kingdom, the first ever holding the Intercontinental and Heavyweight titles at the same time. This was a classic match, as you would expect. Anytime Naito and Okada get in the ring together, it's a classic match. Okada was wearing the sort of traditional sort of tidy whitey style tights. He didn't wear the sort of shorts where they go about halfway down his thigh, or he wasn't wearing the long pants that he sometimes wears. He was wearing the more traditional, like I said, tidy whitey type wrestling tights. Basically, it looks like a pair of underwear, basically. He ended up, Okada ended up losing. Naito hit him with a couple Destinos for the 1-2-3. The crowd fucking went crazy. After the match, though, Kenta came out there kind of looking like sort of like maybe he was going to sort of give him, congratulations or whatever. But then Kenta ended up beating the shit out of Naito and ended up like sitting on his chest, like sort of Indian style on his chest. And so it looks like maybe we're going to be getting a feud between Kenta and Naito, which I'm not hating it, but it sort of is, Kenta, he hasn't really had a whole lot of matches and not a lot of build up, a lot of momentum. I mean, he's had a lot of he had the one sort of feud with his mentor when he came back and sort of turned on him. His name escapes me at the time. But he had that sort of thing going on, but never had a match with him. So, sort of peculiar there. So moving along to Raw here, Brock Lesnar comes out to begin Raw with Paul Heyman, and it's announced that Lesnar will be the first entrant into the Royal Rumble this year, which is strange because he's already the champion. But there's sort of really no suitable opponent for him. So not really sure exactly what's going to happen there. It may just simply be a thing on Brock Lesnar. It could just be simply a thing. He wants to be the first one in the Royal Rumble, so he can be one of the first ones out, so he can fucking go home. Knowing him, that might just simply be the reason. Because he obviously doesn't give a shit about wrestling in WWE. That's pretty obvious at this point. If he did, he'd wrestle a lot more. So, we'll see how that You know, it's only about 2 more weeks till WrestleMania, so there's not really a whole lot of build they can do. I don't think he has a title match at Royal Rumble. I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong, and that could change. But they had a pretty damn good match between Andrade and Rey Mysterio, which isn't too much of a surprise. Because Andrade and Rey Mysterio have been having pretty damn good matches. After the match, Andrade ripped off Rey Mysterio's mask, which of course is pretty much the ultimate sign of disrespect in Lucha Libre. Later on in the night, though, Rey Mysterio was able to get his revenge in like sort of a backstage sort of segment where Rey Mysterio attacked Andrade and was able to take back his mask. So good for him. The Viking Raiders retained their Raw Tag Team Championships. So there's that. AJ Styles defeated Akira Tozawa. Lana and Lashley were able to officially become married this episode. There was a little sort of strange segment, or not really a segment, but a thing that happened before. Before the whole wedding segment was scheduled to begin, what security thought was a fan dressed in a suit and who was kind of older, like in their 50s, rolled into the ring, and security for the arena thought it was a fan rushing the ring, so they tackled him and stuff, and they quickly realized that, oh no, shit, this is the guy who is officiating the Lana Lashley wedding. So they like, oh, sorry bro. So that was kind of strange, peculiar. People were really like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? But it turned out to just be like the pastor or priest, preacher, whoever the fuck it is that's officiating the wedding. The officiating goes off without a hitch, so they're officially married now. So good for them. Drew McIntyre defeated No Way Jose, whatever. Aleister Black defeated Shelton Benjamin. And then there was the main event, which was a 6-man tag match. It was Seth Rollins and AOP versus Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, and a mystery third man. The third man was revealed to be Big Show. Big Show made his first match, or had his first match on Raw in like basically 2 years. So a lot of people were meh. But it did get a little bit of a pop there. Needless to say, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, and Big Show team won against Seth and AOP. So now we'll move along to AEW. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page started off the night with a tag team match against Private Party. Pretty damn decent match here. Omega and Page won, which is not surprising. It seems more and more every week that the executive VPs and the elite people like Omega, Young Bucks, Cody are getting more and more momentum and more wins. So it seems like their sort of momentum continues to build. Riho retained her AEW Women's title against Chris Statlander. Sammy Guevara defeated Christopher Daniels in a so-so match. The Brotherhood of Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes defeated the Lucha Brothers in a really, really good match here. Maybe the match of the night for AEW. Jurassic Express defeated Best Friends. So here we have again another AEW episode where there's another 3 tag team matches. I don't know if there's been an episode where they haven't had at least 3 tag team matches on it. It seems like every episode they have at least 3, if not 4, tag team matches on it. It's quite kind of sort of getting repetitive here. But Jurassic Express wins. Moxley comes out with some members of the Inner Circle, Jericho and Sammy Guevara and Jack Hager, to announce whether he accepts Jericho's invitation into Inner Circle. At first, he accepts their invitation, and they sort of have a little celebration there in the ring. Sammy Guevara and Jack Hager sort of start walking back to the ring, or back to the back area. And as they're about to go through the curtain, Moxley takes the microphone and says, "Just kidding." There's no amount of material things that you can give me for me to join the Inner Circle. And hits Jericho with a bottle of the bubbly. So it was basically just a ruse. Moxley is not joining the Inner Circle. And that's basically how AEW goes off the air there. So some good moments, some not so good moments. So we're going to move on to NXT review. This NXT was back at Full Sail for the first AEW or NXT of 2020, at least at Full Sail. Rhea Ripley comes out, starts cutting a promo. And then she's interrupted by Toni Storm. Toni Storm reminds her that Toni Storm had beaten her twice in NXT UK. And says that she's going to win back the NXT she's going to win back the NXT UK Championship at NXT TakeOver Blackpool this weekend. And then she's going to beat Rhea Ripley at the World's Collide event over Royal Rumble weekend to become double champion. Kaylee Ray, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and Candice LeRae all got involved. And then this evolved into a six-woman tag team match. Rhea Ripley ended up putting away Bianca Belair with a riptide. There was some of the first round of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. We had Imperium defeated the Forgotten Sons via pinfall. Not much of a surprise there. Imperium, of course, is on a roll. Austin Theory, who is the new sort of signee there in NXT, the new blue chip prospect signee there in NXT, he defeated Joaquin Wilde. This was a pretty quick match. This was Austin Theory's live TV introduction, his first match being on live TV. The match he had last week was pre-taped, so there's that. Another first round Dusty Tag Team Classic match. Undisputed Era defeated Gallus. Not too much of a surprise there. Even though it was the NXT Champions versus the NXT UK Tag Team Champions. But still a pretty damn good match here. These guys would definitely love to see these guys again in the match. or maybe a series of matches. They worked really fucking well together. And then Gargano came out for an in-ring promo and basically calls out Finn Balor. He said that so Finn Balor eventually comes out. Balor refers to Gargano as Johnny Promo because that's all he is cleared to do anymore. And then Balor told Gargano, like, if he wants to face him so bad, go and ask William Regal for a one-on-one match at NXT TakeOver Portland. And if William Regal agrees, then they'll have a match there. Next thing was another tag team classic sort of segment. It really wasn't a match, but Kushida was announced that he was going to be in the Dusty Tag Team Classic with a mystery partner. So Kushida came out there and sort of he came out there to unveil who his mystery tag team partner is, and it's his former tag team partner from New Japan, Alex Shelley. So they reunite the Time Splitters, as they were called back then. I don't know if they're going to be calling them the Time Splitters here in NXT. I don't know. So that's a pretty cool little moment there, for them to be back together. Mia Yim defeated Caden Carter. Not much of a surprise there. After the match, Mia Yim helped Caden Carter to her feet, but whenever Caden Carter was back up to her feet, Chelsea Green attacked her from behind. And then out from the back came Robert Stone, who is Robbie E from formerly of Impact, if you don't know who he is. He comes out and says that he's been forming his own little stable behind the scenes. And Chelsea Green is his first acquisition of their stable. So this is really an interesting little thing here. I don't know if in NXT that we've had this sort of forming of the stable type of thing like this before. So it seems like they're really high on Chelsea Green. I mean, they debuted her on like the last SmackDown or whatever, or Raw, whatever it was. You know, she's been on pretty much TV every week since then. And now she's getting sort of a main storyline for the women's division in this new faction, this new group with Robert Stone. And then the main event was Keith Lee defeated Cameron Grimes. And Donovan Dijakovic and Damian Priest to become the North American Championship number one contender. Keith Lee hit the Spirit Bomb on Cameron Grimes for the 1-2-3. And then it was announced before NXT went off the air that Keith Lee will challenge Roderick Strong for the North American title in 2 weeks, on the January 22nd edition of NXT. So that should be a damn good match right there. You know, that's reason enough just by itself to tune into NXT for that episode. A pretty solid NXT here. I would probably, if it was just up to wrestling, I would probably have given it to AEW. With the Gargano, Balor back and forth, and Kushida announcing the return of the Time Splitters, that bumps up NXT a little bit to me. This is a really tough one here. This is another one that sort of could go either way for me here. But if I had to pick a winner, I would have to go with AEW just for the in-ring stuff. You had Omega and Paige against Private Party. You had the Brotherhood of Cody and Dustin versus the Lucha Brothers. And then you had, who the fuck was it, against the Private Party. Who the fuck was it? Hold on. Jurassic Express versus Private Party. So I know I sort of ragged on the tag team matches. But all three of the tag team matches on that show were pretty decent. The Riho match was not that great. It was just sort of okay. The Sammy Guevara Christopher Daniels match was again just okay. But what NXT did in the ring was pretty decent as well. And then of course on AEW 2 you had this whole you had the Will Jon Moxley accept the Inner Circle invitation, which he did at first, but he was just joking, and then attacked Jericho with a bottle of the bubbly. And then there was one segment where Cody was supposed to come out and say whether he was going to accept MJF's invitation or stipulations for their match. He didn't end up coming out. For some reason, Dustin Rhodes came out instead. And so that was really sort of shitty. Because why wouldn't Cody come out to address whether he accepts the stipulations or not? So that sort of sucked. So that was a little bit of a demotion. Or a little bit of a demerit for AEW. Overall, I'd get the slight advantage to AEW. I'd probably give AEW probably B+, and probably NXT probably a solid B. So I guess I'll be doing AEW again next week. I believe that wraps it up for this episode of Regularly Scheduled Hostility. I want to give a shout out to fellow podcasters that I listen to every week, and you should be listening to. Shout out to Don Tony, Kevin Castle Show. They go live on Mixlr Monday nights at 11 p.m. right after Raw goes off the air. Shout out to Wrestling Soup. They go live on Mixlr Thursday nights at 9:30. Shout out to Suplex City Limits. Their new episodes go up Saturday afternoons. Shout out to a show that made their triumphant return this week in the Transcontinental Project. They have been on a little bit of a hiatus for the past few months, but they are back now. I believe it's officially their 32nd episode. So definitely shout out to them, Luke Birch and Sensible Sam. Big fan of their show. They go live on Mixlr Tuesday nights at 10:15 Eastern, 9:15 Central. Shout out to Saw Monster Sounds Off. His new episodes go up Sunday afternoons. Shout out to The Trademark Show with Tyler. His new episodes normally go up, I think, Friday or Saturdays. Shout out to Get in the Corner. They go live on Mixler Wednesday nights at 9:30. Shout out to Dirt Sheet Dudes. They go live on, I believe now it's on Fridays at about 9:30 on Mixler. Shout out to Wrestling OD. They don't have a regular set schedule. So basically he just puts up new episodes whenever he's able to. And shout out to the Transcontinental Project. I'm not Transcontinental. The Inhuman Experience, rather. With Bobby Blades and Bobby Anthem. They don't have a regular schedule either. They just, again, put up episodes whenever they're able to record. So definitely keep checking on their podcast and their feed and everything to see when they put out a new episode. So that wraps it up for this episode of Regularly Scheduled Hostility. I'm your host. Follow me on Twitter at EricTurner5. And I'll be back again the same time next week. And until next week, take care, guys.